were towards the last part under duties of the individual believer to endeavor daily and methodically to rise to loftier heights of consecration and self-abnegation. When Mr. Olinga was on pilgrimage in 1957, one day Shoghi Effendi explained to him these terms, particularly this term of consecration. He said that every individual believer passes through three stages. The first stage is attraction. Attraction. This, of course, becomes much, much clearer when a person is not a Baha'i and is attracted to the faith. So that is the first. But even when we are born in a Baha'i family, a time comes when we become attracted to the teachings. We appreciate that we have these teachings and we feel attracted to them. So that is the first stage. The second stage is conversion. It is when the individual accepts Baha'u'llah and says, I would like to be a follower of Baha'u'llah. I want to be a member of the Baha'i community. So stage one, he said, was attraction. Stage two was conversion. But then he said there is a stage three, and that is consecration. And sometimes he would use the word dedication. Dedication or consecration. Now, many of us pass through the first stage, we are attracted. It is like a piece of metal seeing fire and wanting to get closer to the fire. We are converted when we feel the heat of the fire and we like it and we acknowledge the fact, yes, this is fire and it has heat and it has warmed me. So this is conversion. And then but this is not the end. Maybe we have met many Baha'is who have passed through the first stage and the second stage, and for the rest of their lives they remain in the second stage. And we must try and get to the third stage. Otherwise, we will not reach our destination. The third stage is consecration. See what a difference there is between attraction and conversion. It's a big difference. There is an even bigger difference, larger difference, between conversion and consecration. Conversion is to be a follower of Baha'u'llah. Consecration is to be a lover of Baha'u'llah. Not only a believer, but a lover. An ardent lover. An intoxicated lover. That's what he wants us to be. And that is the third stage. So, when he's saying here, to endeavor daily, on a daily basis, and methodically. Methodically is we must have a plan. We must have a will, a determination, a plan of action, so that it becomes methodical, it becomes systematic. So it's not only the institutions that have to become systematic. We have to learn how to become methodical and systematic in our personal lives. This is why you see that the House of Justice called on the believers, or all of us, every believer in the whole world, to have a plan for ourselves. And as I said earlier on, what a wonderful Baha'i community we will have if we have a plan on the international level from the House of Justice, which we do. We have plans under that umbrella made by national spiritual assemblies, and under the umbrella of that national plan, local assemblies then develop and adopt their own local plans for the community. And then, in addition to all this, then each one of us has a plan. we sort of try and adopt certain goals for our lives. And we say, let's do it systematically, methodically, as Shoghi Effendi is saying here, so that we move step by step forward. And this is how we can change ourselves. We can transform ourselves through the power of the cause. As I told you before, I repeat myself, that we can submit ourselves to the cause and allow the forces of the cause to change us, to recreate us. We should never lose hope. We should always be optimistic, always hopeful that the change will come, but it will come gradually. We have to have the determination to do it. And we have to do it prayerfully. We should turn in prayer to Him and tell Baha'u'llah that we are weak, that we need His help, that we cannot do it alone. And He will come to our aid. And we will not only astonish others, but we will astonish ourselves too. Self-abnegation comes from this negation. To abnegate, that means to tell my ego no. I should have the courage to tell my own ego that speaks, no, shut up, please. I have to have that courage, because the ego is always there. Self-abnegation, it means self-denial, to negate the voice of self and control that voice and allow the voice of the soul, of your conscience, to speak, to tell you. Because the poor soul and the poor conscience wants to speak, but this voice of the ego is so loud that it drowns the voice of the soul. But when you put that ego aside with all its manifestations, then you can hear the sweet voice of your own soul. That gift from God, that ray from God, which is in each one of us, then that can make itself heard. And you lead, and with the writings that you have in your hand, with the prayers that you will offer, all these things will combine, and then you will see what great changes have occurred. Okay, that will be the end of this section. Now we come to the other section, and in order to understand this last section of our course, with the help of our dear Margaret and Noemi, this thing was prepared for you last night. And I will ask Bahia to read for you on page 19 of section 6, the big paragraph on that page and the small paragraph following it, the two lines following it, starting from these different stages, and then the second paragraph ends, was now to begin. And you listen to these words carefully, because they are extracts from the letter of Shoghi Effendi. Everything in italics are extracts. So in one paragraph we try to summarize this long message of Shoghi Effendi for you, that you find the references given, messages from Baha'i World, pages 153 to 154. This has been summarized for you here, and this chart, this sketch here, is the same thing. This is an attempt to put in chart form what is expressed here in words. So as Bahia reads this for you, follow carefully and retain the thoughts and see how these can be placed on this sketch here, because this is what we are going to do for the rest of the morning.
These different stages from the dawn of the Adamic cycle to the Prophet Muhammad constituted the first part of the majestic process of the expression of the divine will. According to this message, during the dispensation of Adam, the tree of divine revelation was planted in the soil of divine will. And this tree was watered with the vernal showers of blood shed by countless martyrs during the successive dispensations of the Adamic cycle. In this message, he pointed out that the second and third parts constituted of the appearance of the perfect fruit of that tree, constituted the appearance of the perfect fruit of that tree, namely the barb. Sorry, has I made a... I can't read. Consisted of the appearance of the perfect fruit of that tree, namely the barb, as well as the grinding of that sacred seed in the mill of adversity, causing it to yield its oil in the city of Tabriz. The following three parts, according to this message, cover the period of the ministry of Baha'u'llah through the ignition of this oil by the hand of Providence in the Siyah Chal of Tehran, followed by the appearance and diffusion of the flickering light of divine revelation and the subsequent spread of the radiance of that light in Adrianople and Acre, when its rays reached parts of the Asiatic and African continents. The seventh part was the shedding of the illumination of this divine light upon 20 additional territories in the American, European, and Australian continents. The eighth part was the diffusion of that same light in the course of the first 32 years of the formative age of the faith, over a further 94 territories of the planet. Thus, the eight parts constituting the period from the inception of the Adamic cycle until the year 1953, when the 10-year crusade was launched, consists in a grand total of 6,109 years. That's 6,000 plus 77 plus 23 plus 9. Having thus brought us to the year 1953, Shoghi Effendi explained that in this inconceivably dramatic diffusion of the divine light, the ninth part was now to begin.
So an attempt was made to put this in the form of a chart. If you look at your charts now, and you see the first column is headed parts, and it starts, instead of starting from top to bottom, it starts from bottom upwards. So number one is at the very end, and then it becomes 2, 3, 4 until it reaches 10. Okay? So this is the first point to remember. The second point to remember is that he is talking about light. He's talking about the diffusion. Diffusion means the spread of light. And he says that this light had a preamble. Before he talks about the light, he wants to bring the Adamic cycle into play. So what is he saying in this passage here that Bahia just read for us? If you imagine, if we had a chart here that we could draw for you, but you can now imagine it in your own minds. Here is a seed. We plant a seed here. This seed is the beginning of the Adamic cycle. This seed grows. It becomes a tree. Now, after 6,000 years, this tree yields a fruit. This fruit is the barb, according to this message of Shoghi Effendi. This fruit is the barb. Now, this fruit, during the period of 6 years, it lost its flesh, if you like, and it was, there was another seed here now of that fruit. It was crushed. His martyrdom. This crushing of this seed of this fruit, the fruit of this 6,000 years of divine revelation, yielded an oil. Now 9 years have passed, Baha'u'llah comes and he, in the Siyachal of Tehran, he gives it that spark of fire. It touches the oil. You have a conflagration. You have the beginning of the illumination, the enlightenment of this fire, the enkindlement of this oil. This oil now is ignited. Now, for the rest of the dispensation, for the rest of the different parts that he has enumerated, he is now describing to you the diffusion. Diffusion is the spread, the dispersion, the casting of the light, the rays of this light throughout the planet. So, with this in mind, and this is still going on, this light is still going on, and then he takes our imaginations and he projects our imaginations into the future, up to the beginning of the 10-year crusade, about the 6,000 years, about the period of his own ministry, the period of the ministry of Abdul Baha, the period, part of the ministry of Shoghi Effendi, up to the point of the beginning of the 10-year crusade in the year 1953. Up to that point, then he says, this is now the end of the eighth part. That means everything from number one to number eight is all of the past, and shows you here to what degree the light of the faith of Baha'u'llah spread throughout the world, from 2 countries to 15 countries, from 15 countries an additional of 20 countries. When Abdul Baha passed away, the light had spread to 35 countries of the world. But then the 10-year plan begins, and then there is a burst. And you, as a result of the 10-year crusade, you see a point where it says over 200 countries and all sovereign states and chief dependencies were illumined. Now this section here, which is under number 9, as you see, number 9 is divided into two parts. One is Shoghi Effendi from 1953 till 1957 when he passed away. And then from 1957 to 1963, you have Hands of the Cause, because that was during the period of the interregnum, when Shoghi Effendi had passed away, and the Hands became the center of the cause in order to complete the 10-year crusade. During this period, what is the total from 35? We reached over 250 countries in the world. But notice the way Shoghi Effendi has described these countries. He calls them sovereign states and chief dependencies. Now, what does what does he mean by chief sovereigns, sovereign states, and dependencies? When he talks about sovereign states, he's talking about independent states. It was the wish of Shoghi Effendi, and he achieved it through the 10-year crusade, that the independent countries of the world will all be opened. All the sovereign states. That was his aim. But when it came to other territories which were not independent, which were dependencies, like colonies, the territories that were under a central government either in Europe or North America or elsewhere. These are called dependencies. They are not independent. Sovereign states are independent. So Shoghi Effendi's vision was that as a result of the 10-year crusade, all sovereign states, but not all dependencies. He selected some of the dependencies. They were the chief dependencies, in his opinion, at that time. So that is how the 10-year crusade ended. Now, when he finished, it was before he passed away, of course, but he was extending his mind, his vision to the end of the 10-year plan. And then he wants to go beyond that. This is where he uses such terms as diffusion, makes a distinction between three terms in this message. The three terms are diffusion, penetration, and suffusion. Diffusion of the light is when you take, for example, to make it easier for us, we look out from the window here and we see light diffused over this area of Italy. This is diffusion, when the light spreads. Now, the light of the cause did spread, and that was Shoghi Effendi's intention, that it should spread to all the sovereign states, all underlined, and chief dependencies, but not all chief dependencies, not all dependencies, chief important dependencies. So, extending his vision into the future as a legacy he is giving now to the House of Justice. What is he suggesting to the House of Justice? What is the path that he is now drawing for the House of Justice? First, he says, the continued diffusion of this light so that all the territories of the world, that there will not be a spot on earth, anywhere, small island even, anywhere in the world, wherever there is any population, there should be a presence of the Baha'i faith. Not only the chief territories or chief dependencies, all. This is one point he is making. And of course, the House of Justice has taken this to heart. And this is what they are going to develop over the years. It still has not been achieved. There are still many spots on earth where the faith has not yet reached, where the diffusion, notice the term, the diffusion has not yet reached those territories. But this is part, that's part of that framework that Shoghi Effendi has given as a vision for the future to the House of Justice. This is point number one. Second, he says this light, which is now diffused all over the world, has to penetrate. There is a distinction between diffusion and penetration. When we are talking about penetration, we are talking about not only the light on top, but we are also talking about the heat which has to penetrate in the soil. This is a second stage. What is the second stage? How does he describe the second stage? In the quick reading that we heard, in the summary which is in your notes, maybe you don't notice what is meant by that. But we tried in this chart to bring your attention to this point as we understand it today. And our understanding will grow as the years go by. In the Kitab-e-Iqan, we read that God utters a word, and by that word he has 71 meanings in mind. And we look at it and we see one point, and there are 70 other meanings hidden and concealed in the words, in the words of God. So these things will evolve, the understanding of the Baha'i world under the guidance of the Universal House of Justice will evolve, will become clearer and clearer as the years go by, as the decades go by. So now we come to the question of penetration. Now, our understanding has been put here. Maybe as you read these things more carefully yourself, you come to a different conclusion. God bless you. You're free to come to your own conclusions. But the way we understood it is the way that's on this paper. If you look at this paper now, you see penetration. We put under after the word penetration in brackets, in parentheses, we put of heat. Because we are no more talking about the surface of the soil, which is the illumination and this diffusion of the light. We are now talking about penetration, the entry of that light. The entry of the light is its heat. So how does he define this stage? He defines it in the passage here as the erection of the entire machinery of the Baha'i administrative order in all territories. In other words, after the stage when the light has spread everywhere and every spot on earth has received the message of Baha'u'llah, there is a presence of the Baha'i faith in everywhere in the world, then the second stage, this penetration, is to have the entire machinery of the administrative order operating in that territory, whether it is a sovereign state or a dependency. The entire machinery of the administrative order means to have local spiritual assemblies, to have a national spiritual assembly, to have agencies of local assemblies such as committees and local center, to have activities, to have a publication of, or let us say, a news bulletin for the local community, and then on the national level, to have a national Haziratul Quds, to have a national endowment, to have a national temple site, even to have even the temple built in that little town or in that little country or that in that state, that sovereign state or dependent state. The entire machinery of the administrative order starts being fully established in that area, in that territory. This is the definition that he has given himself to this second stage. Diffusion, penetration, leading to the last stage, which is suffusion. Suffusion is different from diffusion. Diffusion is at the top, is the surface. We enter, we penetrate, we establish our machinery there fully, in its full form, in its administrative order form, and then the light, or the heat in this case, has to spread under the lower strata the lower levels, the inner tissues of this country, of this territory. Of course, this is a metaphor that Shoghi Effendi is using for us. He's using the metaphor of the light, the penetration of the light, the suffusion of the heat. But what he really is talking about is that the faith would be so fully established in each country of the world, whether dependent or independent, that it would affect the hearts and minds of the people, that everybody is affected directly or indirectly by the operation of the institutions of the faith in that country. This is what it means. This is the suffusion, the lower strata, the lower layers, the deeper layers and strata of society. So this is the way that he saw it. The seed is Adam. It comes all the manifestations of God until it gets to the Bab. The Bab is the fruit of this tree. It is crushed. The oil is used by Baha'u'llah. The light spreads. But this light is now spreading, has its own stages, until it reaches the point of the 10-year crusade, when it explodes and reaches so many countries in the world, this diffusion of the light. And then as he sees, looks into the future and speaks to the Universal House of Justice, if you like, in a way, he says, now this light, first of all, has to be everywhere, not only for the chief dependencies, but all the dependencies, every spot on earth. Second, the entire machinery of the administrative order should be erected in each of these points, in these of these spots. Third, the heat, the warmth, the life-giving influence of the faith of God should touch the hearts and minds of all men, everyone. That is the goal. That is the final objective. And that is, he calls, the tenth part. And the House of Justice now is in control of the tenth part of this tremendous, this stupendous spiritual evolution of humanity from Adam to the end of the Baha'i dispensation. A dispensation which, from some of the questions that I have received, I just want to make clear to you that, of course, the Golden Age is part of the dispensation of Baha'u'llah. A number of questions were asked. Is the Golden Age part of the dispensation of Baha'u'llah? Of course it is. We have the first is the heroic age, the formative age, the Golden Age. This is all part of the dispensation of Baha'u'llah, the 1,000 years. As you see in your notes, he calls, one of the titles he gives to the formative age is the Iron Age. This iron becomes golden in the Golden Age. This is all part of the dispensation of Baha'u'llah. When will the Golden Age begin? We do not know. This is for the House of Justice to decide. They will announce it. All we have to do is to see what we have to do today according to the wishes of the heart of the cause, which is beating every day through messages, through guidance that they are sending to us. So that is the Golden Age. But Baha'i civilization is different from the Golden Age. Baha'i civilization will not appear as soon as the Golden Age has begun. No. According to Shoghi Effendi, this Baha'i civilization is itself the result of the operation of the Golden Age, because, he says, The golden age will have its own epochs. The golden age will have its own crusades, its own plans, all under the guidance of the Universal House of Justice. And it will produce that civilization. And that civilization, he says, will continue to evolve with the appearance of future manifestations of God. They will come to consolidate the civilization which was born under the guidance, the influence of the dispensation of Baha'u'llah. They will improve on it. They will develop it. We will see more and more of the wondrous signs of this new civilization which is to be born. The honor, the great high station of this dispensation of Baha'u'llah is that for the first time it gave birth to this civilization. But this civilization, which is the result of the Golden Age, has to continue to evolve throughout the dispensations of the future, all of these new manifestations to come, as clearly stated by Abdu'l-Bahá and further confirmed by Shoghi Effendi, will be under the shadow of Baha'u'llah. This is going to be the Baha'i cycle. It's the cycle of Baha'u'llah. And these manifestations of God will come in order to improve upon, to develop further, to make greater advances in the progress, in the evolution of this divine civilization, which is going to be born and continue to exist till the end of the Baha'i cycle. Now, there are some terms here that are used. 5 more minutes, yes. I will quickly do this. In the last paragraph, in the last sentence, last column, you see two terms used: entry by troops, ? Mass conversion, ? Now, the question mark is your humble servant, because I don't know. Because nobody knows. The question marks means I am guessing. This is what it means. But I put it there to open my heart to you and tell you what is on my mind. It may happen like this, it may not happen like this. But this is the way I understand it today, in the year 2005. Now, in 2006, I may change my mind. Now, this is based, there is a difference between entry by troops and mass conversion. In other words, we are going now through three stages. Our present stage is not entry by troops. The stage of entry by troops, which is ahead of us, then the stage of mass conversion, which is after entry by troops. There is a difference between these things. And therefore, I put them in this way. Now, there is a letter from Shoghi Effendi, which has been published, in which he gives us his definition of entry by troop stage and mass conversion stage. In our excitement, I remember in the days of the Hands of the Cause, in our excitement, when we had about, let us say, 50 Baha'is accepting the faith in a certain village, in India or in Africa or in Bolivia or wherever, we have mass conversion. we used this term mass conversion very loosely, not realizing that this was not the correct term to use. It was not even entry by troops. It was just a group of Baha'is who had become Baha'is. And then in some cases, because we did not have the facilities that we exist today, namely the institutes and the study circles and all the other core activities, they came and we lost many of them, unfortunately. They came in and they left. And we cannot find them. Maybe one day they will come back and they are welcome. And of course we will find them eventually, because many of them have different family problems, economical problems, and otherwise they have drifted away from the cause. And as we did not have these facilities to keep them inside the faith, deepen them, make them lovers instead of just followers, so that they become consecrated, dedicated lovers of the cause, then gradually they drifted away. But now, with the system that the House of Justice has built, with these institutes, which is now part and parcel of the life of every national spiritual assembly throughout the world, just as they have a Haziratul Quds, now it is the duty of every national assembly to have its own teaching institute. And they collaborate with the counselors, they consult with the counselors. None of these things existed in those early years. So we bring them in. Now, the House of Justice has told us that all these plans that they are giving us are in order to advance the process of entry by troops. They are reminding us that we are every day approaching that day of entry by troops. We are almost at the threshold of entry by troops. But this time, organized entry by troops. This time, entry by troops who will come in, who will join these classes, will be deepened and will be kept within the cause, protected within the cause. This is what the hope is. We have to wait with abated breath, with great excitement, what the next plan of the House of Justice is going to be in just a year from now, as we finish the 5-year plan. But while we are having this last year of the 5-year plan ahead of us, we have to do everything we can to be worthy for the new plan, because upon the success of this plan will depend the success of the new plan that is ahead of us. So that is entry by troops. Then Shoghi Effendi in that letter says, this entry by troops will be a prelude, an introduction to the stage of mass conversion, the spiritualization of the masses. There is a difference between troops and masses. The word entry by troops has been taken from one of the tablets of Baha'u'llah. Okay?
Yeah.
Just give me 3-4 minutes.
Sure.
In the tablet of Baha'u'llah to Nasiruddin Shah, that you find in the new compilation, Summons of the Lord of Hosts. It's a new compilation that the House of Justice has released of the tablets of Baha'u'llah addressed to the kings of the earth and the rulers, and important tablets of Baha'u'llah also. All right. In this tablet, Baha'u'llah tells Nasiruddin Shah. He says, I'm not quoting the exact words, but see how important it is that this poor head of 85-year-old, Violette does not like me to remind myself and to remind you that I am 85 years old. But never mind. But what a wonderful thing it would have been if this poor memory of mine could have retained the exact words of Baha'u'llah that I can quote for you. Then that I knew how to memorize it in the original. I memorized the original when I was a Baha'i youth. But the English, it's a new translation. I have not memorized it. So I have to give you the meaning of it. So Baha'u'llah is telling Nasiruddin Shah, very soon God is going to open for his portal a new gate, and the portal will open. Now this idea of the portal and the entry by troops in that portal, he uses the word entry by troops in that portal. You can think of a big gate. For example, those of you who have been to Akka, You have seen the big gate of Acre. Now, if you see there is a small gate, it's small for one person to enter. That big gate is closed, but that small gate, for control, for security, that's what they did, so that one at a time could enter to see who he is and what he is, why is he wants to enter the city. This was the system for the old city. These terms about the portals and the gates and so on. He says, God is going to open. In other words, so far, we go, it's individual conversion. One at a time. If you like, two at a time. Three at a time. Very close to each other, they are coming in. This is the stage where we are. The small gate. The small door. Baha'u'llah is saying, God is going to open the gate. And the troops will enter. This is what the House of Justice is planning to do for us. They want to open the gate. And this five-year plan is a preparation for the opening of the gate so that the troops will enter. We have to be ready for the troops. And this, Shoghi Effendi now says, this is itself a prelude for the third stage, from the small gate to the portal, then there is no control. The masses will come. Third stage, mass conversion. How does he describe the last stage? I quoted for you this in the passage here, in these notes. It is when suddenly, he says, through ways that are mysterious, we don't know how this is going to happen, suddenly there will be a 1,000-fold increase in the spiritual power, the material and spiritual power, as well as the material resources of the Baha'i world community. How is this going to happen? It's impossible to imagine. We cannot imagine it. It's in his hand. It is his invisible hand. It will happen in an unexpected way. When Shoghi Effendi, writing to the Baha'is of Persia on the same theme, he said, it will be unexpected. Whatever we say here that I think is going to happen like that, it will not happen like that. Because it is unexpected. This is a miraculous, mysterious thing in the knowledge of God. What he's telling us, he says, you do stage one. You do, under the guidance of the Universal House of Justice, stage two, which is entry by troops. I will take care of stage three. This is what Baha'u'llah is saying. This third stage is not in our hands. It is part of the major plan of God. It's no more a part of the minor plan. The major plan and the minor plan will merge together. And you have mass conversion. Finita la musica.
Dear Mr. Nakhchavani, do you remember some days ago I finished my vocabulary to thank you? So today really I'm so inadequate to express all our sincere gratitude to you. Thank you so much. And I'm so sorry now to begin to have to make announcement. But one thing for whom they ordered the pictures please go to Samir and to take it. The second thing is that some of you sign your name for the bus, for the airport, and few of you for taxis. And what about the others? Do you want to stay another week here? So please go and put your list in some of these lists, your name in some of you this list. And remember that on the Sunday morning, the bus doesn't come here in the parking here, but you have to go down with your luggage and take the bus at 7 o'clock in the morning downtown. The last announcement. Some of you want to stay also Sunday night here, to sleep here. Please, before this afternoon, go to Jamshid and say who wants to stay and to sleep on Sunday night. Otherwise, you are welcome in our outside country to sleep, you know. Okay. Please go to Jamshid. Now we have our break.